Oh, man. Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm Barry.
And I'm Colby.
And this is Who Watches This? So, Colby, go ahead and introduce the movie for this episode.
So, this month we're doing movies about trapped, people being trapped, because that's just a format of movie I really dig. Today's masterpiece is The Belko Experiment.
So this movie really... I think the only person I really recognize is the guy who played Wendell.
Yes.
He's like in Scrubs. He was in The Office Space. Mainly Scrubs. But other than that, I think a lot of these people, like, they're like characters that you've seen in movies. Yondu was in here. Forgot.
Yes.
Yondu had a really small part. I was really sad that he died so early in this film. Spoiler alert. For a movie that's 3 years old.
But yeah, you had a handful of people that like I recognized, but I'm like, what do I know them from? They must have played small parts and stuff. Like the big guy who's kind of hanging out with the stoner. He was in ER or...
He kind of reminds me of the guy, Frankie, from Boy Meets World. I know that's not him, but it's just like same bodies. I think he was in maybe Breaking Bad. I don't know. There are like a lot of like, it's like one of those situations where it's like a lot of people that you know.
Yeah.
But you don't know their name.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because also the guy who kills Yondu is also in Ant-Man.
Right.
Yeah, he's like the Russian... I think he plays a Russian character.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's, like, this movie, it got a wide release, right, on theaters? You watched it in theaters,
right?
It did.
I actually, saw it opening night. I was super stoked when this movie came out. Like, I saw the previews, and I was like, that is exactly the movie I want to see.
But, like, this movie, it has, like, a lot of archetypes. Like, the thing that reminded me the most about this movie was the Japanese movie Battle Royale.
And actually, the tagline on the movie poster is Office Space meets Battle Royale.
Was that the tag?
Yeah.
So at least they're like, you know what
hate? Wendell was in Office Space.
Yeah. I just feel like, they're like, hey, you know what? A lot of people hate working in offices, and sometimes you just want to kill your coworkers. And this is the excuse.
Yes.
But hey, at least I didn't know that was on the tagline for the movie poster. So at least they're like, this is more of like an American tribute.
Right, like a little homage to
it. Yeah. Because the whole exploding devices in their head, same thing from Battle Royale, except it was around their neck. So I guess the movie plot is pretty... Like with the last two films that we did, it's pretty thin, but I think there's like more of like maybe like a philosophical, like indications in this whole film.
Yeah.
Because we start the movie off with Michael Belcher, the only name besides Wendell I will remember in this film. He's the main character. He sort of looks like... He has that really like a Dane Cook Employee of the Month vibe going.
That's a good description. Yep.
Because I don't think he really... I mean, he knows he does his job. I don't know if he enjoys it.
Right, and he's a decent leader. Like, he doesn't look like he's a manager, but maybe he's like the senior, or he's like the
or like
team
department head or
department
something like
head.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so like the movie takes place in Colombia, which... Not a prime location for me to relocate to. I just, nothing against Colombia. It's just, there's always, there's always trouble that you see in the news. I'm like, I don't know. That relocation fee would probably be pretty high for me.
But they're giving them, they're like, hey, welcome to Columbia. Here's your company car. Here's the company credit card.
Oh, yeah, with the girl, right?
Here's your apartment, and here's your bonus check. And
Yeah, because you see that with the one of the girls starting. It was like her first day.
Right.
It was like a really shitty first day there. But, like, as they're trying to enter the building, they notice that there's, like, higher security, like, tighter security.
Right, which isn't super surprising, because apparently there is a regular security force there. But it's just heavy duty that day.
Yeah.
And they're wondering, they're like, hey, was there a bomb threat? But, you know, they're in Colombia, so it's not something that would be really... Nobody seems overly concerned about it.
Yeah. Oh, and then, we do get a cut with one of the main antagonists of the film, who, actually, I do remember, because his name is the same as my name, Barry. He is the chief operations officer of the entire building, so I'm pretty sure he's, like, I guess he's the top of the section or chapter of that business or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, because it makes it sound like it's an international corporation,
yeah.
And so he's the leader in Colombia.
Yeah. And so, they start the day off pretty normal, like how if you've ever worked in an office, it's, normal.
The pleasantries.
Yeah,
getting coffee.
Shooting the shit, fucking water cooler talk type of deal. We get a cut of Mike's girlfriend, who's being stared down by Wendell. So he hits him with the IM, like, hey, stop staring at me. Stop. I forgot the exact words. But,
it's pretty obvious that she does not appreciate it.
Yeah, but he is thankful for the eye candy. And then this is where we see him. It's Mike's girlfriend. He comes in there. Wendell looks super upset. He's jealous.
Right. But it definitely appears that they keep it pretty hush-hush. It's like not like a well-known fact.
Yeah. Except for, Barry walks into that room and he sees it. But I think maybe he's cool with it. He doesn't really question or say anything about it, right?
Yeah, he's kind of like the Marine hardcore manager, but he definitely seems fair.
Yeah,
at least at this point.
I mean, to be honest, he was quite fair during the whole
shitstorm. He really was.
I mean, he looked torn up about it, but. Barry and Wendell, they're both military. Barry seems more of, like, the leader type, though, And then Wendell seems like Dolph Lundgren in Universal Soldier during the flashbacks.
Yeah, he saw some time and didn't come back quite correct.
Yeah, but normal enough to do a job like that. And I think Barry just saw that, and he was probably like, we live in Colombia. Who else are you going to meet,
Right.
Except for the women at work. So, and then we get a cut of Mike being friends with Terry, another, like, pretty big, pretty well-built dude. But he seems like he's just, like, a family guy. Right? He's just talking about, his weekend with his family. But then, like, Mike starts to notice, like, hey, how come all the people that live or that are from Colombia...
Are not there.
Yeah, they got sent home because during the beginning of the film, he sees one of the employees get sent home.
Right.
And then he notices a military guy go into, like, this warehouse.
Yeah, there's kind of like a bunker kind of... It looks like almost like a airplane hangar.
Yeah, yeah. And so as we cut to, like, the last American employee coming into the building, checking in, and then that's when the announcement goes.
Right. And everybody's surprised. They're like, what? We have loudspeakers in here?
And so it says there are 88 people or 80 people in the building.
And in the next
2 hours.
2 hours.
You got to kill two people.
Yeah.
And they think it's like a prank.
Right. Yeah. And so at this point, certainly they're... The upper management and stuff they're trying to calm people down. They're checking around to seeing if it is a prank, seeing if somebody's hidden somewhere, seeing where they could find somebody who's controlling a loudspeaker.
Yeah, one of the employees knows there's the actual PA system, so he goes there, but there's nobody there.
Right.
And so the whole building shuts down. it was like one of those, like, it's like one of those security measures.
Yeah. And even at this point, like, yeah, like every window, every door gets covered in metal.
Yeah.
Like a metal shield. But even at this point, they're like, well, this building, you know, is in Colombia. Maybe that's just a security,
like, measure
that they put in case there was some kind of problem. And, you know, whatever prankster this is that, you know, made the announcement, they found the controls and they're just kind of messing with everybody.
Yeah, and then Barry, he goes, you know, someone maybe just hacked into our security system and is having, like, you know, a fun time messing with us.
Right.
And so, like, time goes on. Mike comes up with a plan.
It's also about that time where people start realizing cell phones and stuff are no longer working.
Yeah. And so Mike, he talks to Yondu. Not his name in the film, but
I can't remember his name.
But he's like, hey, let's blow a torch out of here. You know, because, like, people start, even though, like, everyone's calm, they're still a little antsy.
Yeah, and the Yondu guy, he's basically maintenance.
Yeah, yeah. And so they try it, but then the metal is still cool to the touch after, like, working on it with the blowtorch.
With the blowtorch.
And so Mike, I think he says, like, I feel like this is trying to keep people in as much as keeping people out.
Right. And at this point, he starts to become the paranoid one where, like, Wendell and Barry are still very calm. And they're just like, this is, no one's dying. Relax. Let's get some water from the cafeteria. We'll hand everybody some water. Sit them down. Calm them down. You know, whoever's playing this prank is going to only have more fun if we all get worked up. So just relax.
Until like the whole situation gets sorted out,
right?
The 2 hour mark hits, and people's heads start exploding.
Right.
There's like people on the top of the roof that were smoking pot. You know, one of the main stoner guys. He's all like, "Yeah, this is just a conspiracy, man. This is a psychological test. Look at me, I'm cool as a cucumber." And the moment he says that, the woman's head next to him pops. Like, and then that's when shit starts really hitting the fan, because downstairs everyone's congregated, and then I think like 2 or 3 people die there too.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. At this point, God, it's probably 6 or 8 people.
No, it was 4, because then they doubled it. Because
first
2 hours is supposed to be 2 people. They're like, oh, we're going to double it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and so everyone starts scrambling. Now, like, everyone's serious.
Because they're not sure. People's heads are exploding. So they're not sure if there's, like, a sniper somewhere in the building firing at them.
Yeah.
But
then Barry notices.
Right.
With
a little bit of military training, he realizes that pretty quickly it's not a gunshot.
Yeah, because there's no entry. There's no entry room. There's just an exit wound.
Right.
And this is where Mike, like, you know, after that, Mike, he comes to the realization that the tags they got tagged with before they started working there are explosive.
Right. Yeah. And, like, the explanation on that was everybody gets, like, this little tag in the back of their neck. It's a GPS, because in Colombia there's kidnappings and stuff like that. And that way the police can just quickly and easily track you down. That the way there's no problem. It's a mandatory thing for all the people from out of the country to have. And, it's, some of these people have been working there a year or more. And so certainly no suspicion on something that's that old on being an active bomb in your head.
So I mean if I was gonna, like, live in one of these countries that it's a little hostile, I definitely would have been fine with it. But then again, I don't like people putting stuff in my body.
Right.
So I might just look for another job.
it's just like you have a puppy and you get him chipped.
No, yeah, but see, I'm not chipping him with an explosive when he shits the carpet. Yeah, so, I mean, but Mike starts freaking out, and he does, I guess, he does the most reasonable thing. He tries to get it out of his head.
Yes.
And, man, does that take some balls. And his head is also super infected, because he grabs a box cutter, and he just wipes it down with warm water, not killing any bacteria that's on it. But as he's doing this, his girl is outside trying to make him stop because she realizes what he's going to do. And then their announcement over the PA system is like, hey, if you don't stop doing that.
And they say his name, Michael.
Michael Belcher. I'll give you a count to 10, stop doing it. And he gets to like one and he puts his hands up.
Yeah, drops a knife and puts his hands up.
And then this is where everyone starts freaking out.
Right. You know, and at the same time, you get a couple people who are starting to dig through offices and a couple people have found little hidden cameras.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So, and then, you know, Wendell and a couple of the alpha male type of like employees start like weaponing up. And then we get an announcement over saying in the next, I think, 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours, whatever, we want you to kill 30 people.
Yeah. And now at this point, there's 78 people left.
Yeah, 77 or so. Yeah, something like that. And then they say, if you don't, we're going to kill 60.
Yeah, which is
a huge leap.
Yeah.
So everyone's scrambling. Everyone's trying to get away from everybody. The girl on her first day, she's been hiding downstairs. She witnesses Ant-Man, a Russian guy, accidentally kill Yondu.
Because he's a little special. And Yondu is kind of like his mentor, but he's just freaking out.
He's freaking out because he saw somebody, their head got exploded, so he's on edge.
And now he's like, every time Yondu tries to do something, he's like, whoa, are you trying to kill me?
Yeah. And then so as his back is turned, Yondu, he puts his hand on his shoulder to try to like, you know, give him that calm, older brother type of like feeling.
Yeah, just relax, it's okay, we're going to get through this.
And then he turns back and swings.
With a giant wrench.
Oh, man. And his head is dented, and he's just freaking out. Not freaking out, but he's all like, what happened? And then he dies. Which really sucks, because it's only been like 12 minutes in the film, and I really like that guy as an actor. But then he notices a girl on her first day see him kill Yondu.
Yeah.
And she tries to run away, and then he ends up grabbing her, and then she ends up killing him by accident.
Yeah, he's... In the struggle, she pushes him, and like there's like a piece of rebar or something sticking out of the wall. Yeah,
total safety precaution. Like, you know, come on.
Definitely not OSHA compliant.
Yeah, so, you know, after that announcement, now there's 2 people dead, so now you only got 28 people to go. But yeah, and this is where it was hard to take notes on this part of the film because it's like people just, you know, people are dying.
Right, and that fear of, are people going to die is one thing, but once you see a few people's heads explode. I mean, like, it's sheer panic. And then you have the two groups, there's like, that start to split apart. And there's like, you know, the group that's like, how do we find a way out of here? Who's going to save us?
That's Mike's group.
And then there's the group that's like, realistically, if we kill half of us, it saves the other half.
Yeah.
And
that's Barry's group.
Yeah.
Because Barry's military, and he knows, like, when people's heads start exploding, it's serious, you know?
Right.
And, there's no cell reception. You're trapped in a building that you can't possibly damage the walls on. So he's thinking, like, logically.
Right. In extreme logic, but it's
a Vulcan logic.
It is definitely seems like a plausible, logical course of action. I mean, if you can't find another way out, I would rather half the people die than more than 3/4 of them.
It's that philosophical whole thing or whatever, psychological, whatever it is.
Right. And
I know you guys are going to correct
me. Mike is definitely still on the, like, it doesn't matter if one person dies or all of us, we should not be the ones taking lives. If they're going to take our lives, then, you know, that is horrible, horrible. But that doesn't give us the right to kill somebody.
Yeah, he's on this whole, like, we can't decide who lives or dies.
Right.
Like, fit. You know, but, I mean, at the time, it's this, like, very optimistic view on it. Or, like, you know, just trying to keep his, like, morality in check.
Right, definitely.
You know, so, like, their plan is to put signs up on top of the building saying, hey, we're trapped in here. And Barry's plan is, like, let's kill half of the people. Let's decide how to do it.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's like, if we kill half the people right now, that gives us an extra chunk of time to figure out a way out of here.
But I'm just like, yeah, but see, like, logic, like, if you're on this whole logic kick, you just, you got to imagine that, like, when you get that extra block of time, they're going to be like, all right, cool, now kill another half, right?
And Mike makes a point of that.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, they're making us kill each other. There's no way they're letting any of us out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And so, but yeah, so Mike, you know, Mike and his whole group, they go upstairs to make, like, you know, like, signs and stuff. He's mad at his girlfriend because she was sort of, like, on Barry's side about it.
And that's throughout this whole movie is this ongoing kind of battle of he's like, we gotta save as many people as we can. And she's like, nope. Human nature says, when the shit hits the fan, it's you take care of yourself first.
Yeah, every man for himself. And then Barry, he reaches out to Terry. I don't know why they named that guy Terry. But he's all like, hey, man, do you have kids? You know, do they need you? Because for damn sure, I know my wife and my kids need me.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I'm friends with a bunch of people here, but my wife and my kids, that's what's important. And I need to go home to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to feel for the guy, right? I mean, if you have a wife and kids, you know, if you want to come back to your family. So he's just in this whole survival mode. And let's try to get out with as many people as we can.
Right.
But we're going to kill people.
And realistically, like, he's still that military leader. He's like, I want to take charge. I want to save as many people. Even though I don't mind being the guy who kills us to save us.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So it's like, you look at him, he's like, oh my God, he's becoming the bad guy. But he's not really.
It's hard because, if you're looking at it from Mike's point of view, he's a bad guy.
Right.
But then if you look at it as a whole, he's just, like, not, I don't know.
Right. And from Barry's point of view, Mike's the bad guy because 60 people are going to die because he won't do anything.
Yeah. So he's trying to get into the armory. The security guy won't give him the keys.
Right.
For good reason, you know, he's like, I'm not giving you, nobody's getting these keys until I get out that door, you know, but they get the blowtorch. Oh, no. First, they go upstairs to try to do the whole sign thing, right? Yeah. Oh, no. Ugh, man. So, as Mike and his girlfriend are getting supplies, he sees that the blowtorch is gone, and then he notices Barry, Wendell, big fat dude with the goatee. And Terry, they're trying to open the thing, and they get in this whole scuffle.
And then there's, because they're in Colombia, there is it is not a large safe, but it is a secured area for security guards to keep their weapons.
Yeah.
And so, and it's locked up, and at this point, the one lone security guy in the building is the only one with the key. And so they're just like, well, if you're not going to give it to us, we're just going to weld the safe open.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they get into a whole fight. Mike ends up shooting, like, the little tube.
Yeah, like the nozzle and stuff on the welder.
On the gas, which also is super fucking dangerous, man. Like, you could have blown up that entire room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is where Barry's like, you made a big fucking mistake, man. Not like that. He was more military. He was more, authoritative when he said it. But, yeah, and so they go upstairs. They make the signs. But the military guys on the bottom start shooting the side of the building.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the kids, he gets his hand shot off because of Mike. And they're like, hey, if you try to do that again, we're just going to blow your head off.
Right, yes.
So
they give, yeah, the announcement comes across.
They give that up. But as they're going downstairs to, like, regroup, Wendell hits the mic over the head, stabs the security guy, grabs the keys.
Yeah.
And this is where they get into the safe, and Wendell's passing out the guns, but he gets the most clips because he's saying, you know, I get the most clips because I'm gonna kill all these people.
Right. And again, taking charge, being like, I am not going to force you to kill people. I know that that's not what you guys want to do.
Yeah, but well, maybe Wendell does. Because, you know, earlier in the movie, we do get this very rapey vibe from Wendell.
Right.
With this interaction.
And he definitely seems like the that loose cannon military that has, if he's got a strong general leader, you know, lieutenant him, he is more than willing to be like, yes, sir. Yeah. But when that clear leadership is not there, he's
unhinged. Like Wendell, in any like military movie, he's a good soldier,
right?
But when he's not being led,
yeah,
he's that dude in that Michael J. Fox movie in Vietnam where he's just like raping people.
Yeah, yep.
You remember that movie, right?
Yes.
I was really young watching that movie, and I just watched Back to the Future. And then I watched that movie, and I was like, this is a whole different movie. All right, little side tangent. But, yeah, so, Barry orders everybody to grab everybody, bring him downstairs. Mike wakes up, and Wendell is the one, of course, who, like, catches him awake.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so they get downstairs, and Barry he separates the groups. He's like, if anybody has children under 18, step forward.
Right. Anybody, yeah, and he does it, yes, and he does it in a, like, a logically diplomatic way.
The fairest way you can do it, right? Yeah, where it's
like, hey, old people, sorry.
You lived long enough, right?
Yeah. It's like, people with families, we're going to save you.
Yeah.
And then Terry, he's Thanos. He's like, let's do a lottery. We'll just put everybody's name in a basket and we'll pull it out and then we'll...
Which is also a good and fair idea.
It is.
Right? Yeah. He's Thanos. Yeah, but then, you know, Barry tells him, like, hey, don't undermine me.
Right.
You know, which is also, like, you know, like a military
thing. It's a very military thing. Yeah, he's like, if you got a question, take me off to the side. Don't do it in front of everybody.
Yeah, because, you know, you're making me look bad.
Right.
You're undermining my authority. So, I mean... But yeah, Terry, you know, he's...
Especially in an area where you're trying to convince people, I'm going to have to kill you.
Yeah.
Follow my instructions. Yeah.
And so, but after he splits the group, he sees that there's still not enough people, so they go with the Thanos route.
Right.
Except for Mike, you know...
Well, yeah, he's a troublemaker.
Yeah, so. Well, he's sort of that rebel... If he was like a dictator, he's that rebel leader that you want to kill because he keeps trying to round up people.
Right.
With their...
He's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, but as all this is happening, girl on her first day did get noticed by one of Barry's henchmen, but he sort of just lets it go. I don't know why.
There was a little flirty thing between the two of them at the very beginning.
Was there? Okay.
And I think it was just kind of like that. Hey, if I let you go, maybe you like me later. Kind of, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, right? He's like, hey, if I, you know, like if we get out of here, maybe we could go on a date.
But yeah, we got something in common.
Yeah. So she's downstairs and she makes her way upstairs. But as she's making her way upstairs, Barry starts killing people.
Yes.
Wendell's counting 7, 8, 9, and then Terry gets over to Mike, and then Mike's girlfriend's like, don't do it, Terry, you guys are friends, and all that stuff, and then Mike is like, just give me the gun, man, just don't do this.
Yeah.
But then Terry, he's also a soldier, like a very soldier-like mentality, and he goes...
And even though he can't bring himself to kill Mike.
Yeah.
He's like, Barry, Mike told me to give him his gun, but I didn't.
He's seeking approval from, like, the alpha dog. You
right,
know?
Right.
But
hey, it's a way to survive.
Right. But Terry almost, he's almost going to hit the trigger.
Right.
Or pull the trigger. But then girl on her first day turns off all the lights. And
yeah,
everybody,
she found the power box. And
flicks, everybody fucking them. Scrambles.
As I would.
Out of there. And so, yeah, everyone's trying to make their way up. You know, Wendell, Terry, Barry. The fat guy's probably named Jerry. I don't know. They just start spraying. Because, like, we still need to kill all these people.
Right.
And then,
we are now, you know,
in panic
down,
mode.
Down to the wire.
Yeah, right, yeah. And so everybody starts making their way up, but then they're one short.
Yep.
Right? One of the guy that was flirting with First Day Girl, he gets caught up with, like, a whole group, and they just start stomping on him. You know, it's that pack mentality, right? Like, he doesn't have the gun. Let's kill him before he kills us, right?
Right, yep.
Girl in the hijab. I think it's a hijab. I'm not sure. Sorry. Don't. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty close. But yeah, she's like, stop. You know, like, because she sees, like, that very animalistic.
And at this point, like, you can definitely see that change. Where at the beginning, it was Barry and Wendell and maybe four or five people who were, like, on the... Okay, we got to kill these people to save everybody else.
Yeah.
And almost everybody else was on the, no, human life is good. We can find a way out of this. And as more people die, more people move to that...
Like, to that mentality.
That animalistic mentality that, like, anything to... And do anything you can to survive.
Yeah.
The last man standing kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big ladies that Mike... like saves, she ends up stabbing Jerry, the fat guy in Barry's group. But you know, time reaches and they're short one person.
Yep.
So they end up killing like 30 more people, right?
Fireworks go off.
Oh man. And like the worst part is that they're pop, you could hear the pops, I guess, throughout the building, because it's maybe traveling through the vents.
Right. They're small explosives. It's like an M80 going off, like, on your brainstem.
I've always wanted to put an M80 in a toilet, but I was like, I couldn't afford another toilet, you know?
Right, because there's always that, like, is it going to explode kind of thing.
But, yeah, so, yeah, heads are popping all over the place. Stoner guys... You know, like, Stoner guy is in the lunchroom. He's like, this isn't happening. This isn't real. But as he's saying that, tables keep... Oh, man, it's pretty rough. One of the nerdy type of guys who got his hand shot while he was helping Mike, he, like, stops for a moment. He's like, it stops. And then... Man, it is... I don't know. You really never know what you would do in that situation until you're in it. But it's... I think I would have shit my pants. It's another situation I'd shit my pants in.
It would be, yeah.
I would be walking around that whole building with mud butt. Oh, man. But, yeah. What's it called? It's one of those moments, too. Like, Mike's girlfriend, she defends himself from Barry. Or, no, Terry. She gets the paper... paper cutter thing.
Yeah. Breaks off the arm of the...
Yeah, but then, like, you know, time's up. His head pops off, and, you know, the only people really left are Barry, Wendell, Mike, Mike's girlfriend,
New girl,
the big dude, the one who started stomping on the guy who was flirting with the girl from the first, you know, on her first day. And just, like, I think, yeah, there's, like, another person. The cleaning lady.
Oh, and the cleaning lady, yep.
The old cleaning lady. And so we get down to the wire, because at this point, when the whole shit hits the fan after the time goes off, now the new rule is whoever kills the most people gets to live.
Yeah.
right? And so, like, everyone's trying to get their numbers up. Wendell thinks, he's like, I need to beat Barry because Barry killed all those people earlier, so he has a higher body count.
Yeah, yeah, so it's definitely a competition now, weirdly.
New girl and gay guy are on top of an elevator that Barry gets stuck in because new girl jumps off, gay guy gets chopped in half. Like, it's everybody's fear to ever be, like, leave an elevator, but he's like, he went above and beyond, and he was outside the elevator, but he got chopped in half. Really bad. So Barry's pissed because he's like, fuck, I'm stuck in this elevator, I can't get my kill count up. One of the bigger guys that was on Mike's side, he's just trying to get his kill count up too. He's making Molotovs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's that guy. He kills old cleaning lady, which is pretty fucked up. I was like, oh, man, that's messed up. But he's just chucking. Where did he get all the alcohol bottles in the first place? Kobe, you work in an office place. Is there a lot of people?
Soda bottles, maybe?
No, but soda bottles don't explode like that. Kobe, just tell me the truth. Is there a lot of people at your work with alcohol in their filing cabinet?
There's probably more than I know of.
And he just knows where all the stashes are at. But yeah, we sort of get down to the wire. Mike goes, Mike's girlfriend finds a PA and she's like, hey, come down, Mike. I'm downstairs. But before that, she sees Stoner Guy and then Stoner Guy's fat friend. Picking out, like, the bombs from people's heads that didn't explode.
Right.
Yep. And so they meet. They go to the lunchroom. They run into Wendell, who's chopping off the guy who's hiding in the freezer.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, my God, he was your friend. And he's like, nah, I found him like this. As he caught him chopping him. Yeah, and so... Yeah, Mike's girlfriend shoots him, and he's down. They try to get to him, but then fat friend dies. He gets a headshot. Stoner guy gets a headshot. I really thought he was going to make it out of there. For some reason, Jamie Kennedy made it out of Scream, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Marlon Wayans made it out of a Scary Movie.
Smokey. House at the end of the street, or at the end of the...
Was it
that one where the you think the stoner guy is the first one to die and then he ends up living?
Oh, yeah. Or Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. That's there it. You yep. Go. Yep.
House at the End of the Street is a whole different. There's no stoners in that movie. But yeah, so, you know, she ends up killing Wendell pretty brutally. Like, practical effects.
Yes.
Point on this film.
She hit him once with an axe, and then she decided to hit him another 17 times to make
sure. Well, it was probably she was thinking about all those stares that he kept doing at her.
Right. Yeah, no, she was definitely at the point of snapping as well.
Oh, I mean, you really got to give it to her. She held her mentality up for a while, you know, and if that was the point that she snapped, I think it's well-deserved.
Right.
A lot of these unwanted glances. But, Mike's girlfriend and Mike reunite at the bottom, but then that's when, you know, Molotov guy is throwing Molotovs at them. So they book it to the staircase, but Barry's coming downstairs, starts shooting at him, and this is where Mike's girlfriend gets shot.
Yeah.
And so he brings her into, like, this locker room. Like, locker situation, file cabinet, I don't know what it is. I've never seen that kind of thing in a building. Maybe it was it was weird, I don't know. But, yeah, she's dying in there. She says, I love you, I guess for the first time. And then she dies.
Right.
Yeah. And so now, at this point, it's just Mike and Barry left. Which, I was like, man, I don't really like Mike's odds, you know? Barry's military, he has a gun. And so they start duking it out, and then this is where his whole morality sort of goes out the window, you know?
Right. Because it's definitely, you can watch him change slowly throughout this movie, but then it's a big jump here, and it's like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like, you know, when you're in that situation, if someone's trying to kill you, you're just trying to defend yourself, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, he ends up killing Barry in this whole scuffle with the tape dispenser.
And it's a weirdly artistic fight because the overhead going. Projector is playing like the Abelco,
the intro. Fun,
nice slides of how great Belco Company is to work.
I think it's the intro video that people get because there was a girl on her first day.
That's
right. Yeah, I forgot. By the way, this girl does nothing besides turn off the lights in the entire movie and then she gets shot in the face. There you go.
And that's another one. She lasted a long time, and you're like, oh, she
new, might make
the
it.
New girl's gonna be the one who makes it. Yeah.
No. It was very the Departed. Another spoiler if you've never seen that film. That happens in that film. But yeah, nothing ever happens. So Mike kills Barry in a pretty like. I think that's where he sort of snaps, right? He is very animalistic sort of killing, you know? We'll talk about favorite kills after. And so, so all the doors open up. Mike gets dragged out by these two military guys. You know, he's looking pretty dazed, you know? Like, I guess I would, you would be too, right?
Right.
After that whole battle royale.
And the sun is now up, so it's been...
Well, it's been up. It started in the morning. It's only been like... It's probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, I was almost thinking it was the next day.
No.
But yeah, I guess you're right. Yes, because it was like 2 hours and then 2 hours and then...
It's like, you know, the more killing happened because everybody missed lunch. But yeah, and so he gets sit down for a survey. You finally get to see the voice.
Right.
You know, for some reason I was thinking it was Val Kilmer. I know it's not Val Kilmer.
But that guy is
such a chameleon, man.
Yeah. And it is somebody else that I've seen before.
Mm-hmm. He has that, like the rest of the people in this movie, he has that face.
Yep.
Right? But he starts asking him, like, one of those, like, psychological, like, tests, like, how did this make you feel?
Right. What emotion best explains your feelings right now?
And I don't know, how would you answer that question?
And he's like, why the hell are you doing that? And he's like, no, sir, we're asking you the questions right now for the psychological exam, not you asking us questions.
Yeah, we're not here to answer your questions.
Please just answer.
All right, so how would you answer that question?
I think confused may be the
most relevant.
His girlfriend died, so my anger certainly in there.
But like, just like you're just like confused, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'd be pretty fucking pissed. I just had to kill like a whole bunch of people like the ones that I didn't like, maybe not so much, but the ones that were my friends,
yeah, exactly.
You know, because Rebecca at fucking HR has always been a bitch. No, but yeah, like, and at that moment, he's like, oh, man, I'm going to let you guys know right now, I planted all these bombs on you.
Yeah, he's like, well, I see you have the place bugged, so obviously, you know, I picked up a bunch of bombs. And he's like, yeah, and where are they right now? And he's like, well, all over you guys. And they kind of do this little slow motion kind of thing as the guards are taking him, you can see him, like, putting them in their pockets and stuff.
But he has to get past that guy to the board, and he just turns all of them on, which, I mean, at that time, I don't think you have the time to make sure you're not turning yours on.
Right, and it's weirdly lucky. I mean, like, there's names on all the buttons, and his is on the very last row at the bottom, so, I mean, just as you're swiping, like, that's going to be the very last one you hit anyway, and he doesn't hit himself.
Yeah, so he ends up, the bombs go off on the people that he planted them on. He grabs, I think, an M16, starts shooting the other guys.
Yep.
And then he goes to the director guy, and the director guy's like, from what we've seen in this experiment, you're not this type of... Shoots him, like, 4 or 5 times. Total overkill.
Yeah.
You know what it is. And then he leaves after he just gets outside, and he's, I guess, maybe he's just taking a deep-ass breath.
Right, because it's finally all over.
But then this is where we get this pan out of all these other screens and all these other, I guess, I'm guessing Belko buildings.
All around the world.
And there's only one person coming out.
Of each building.
Of each building. So one of my whole, and then this is where it says phase one done, initiate phase two. And then movie cuts. But one of the things that always bothered me was how was he able to get past a director without the two guys in the military right behind him just shoot him?
Because they had bombs on them too.
Yeah, yeah, but then you still have
two. Well, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I have a bomb on me, and you're then trying at least briefly more preoccupied with finding the bomb that he may have put on you than stopping him from running that 8 or 10 feet to the ignition board.
See, I would stop the ignition. Like, I would stop him from getting to the ignition board. I think that would be my first thought. So, one of my theories on this whole thing was maybe those people were meant to also die. Because maybe there has to at least be, in every building, there has to be a mic. A guy who's just like, maybe he's like uber religious, you know, like very, you know, like he has a superhero complex.
Right.
You know, there's always a guy that's always trying to save people. So maybe that was like the whole thing. Like, they wanted to see if they can push this one person to move past his beliefs and make him into a killer.
And they certainly did. I mean, like, at that point, he had, you know, this whole movie, he was like, save as many people as you can. We're not murderers. And then you get in there, and you have the definite bad guys who have set this all up. And he just has no problem shooting and bombing every single one of them.
Yeah.
And so it is definitely a full 360, 180.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so, I don't know, they kept saying that they're going to make a Belko experiment too. I don't know if that's still in the works.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, this movie was 3 years old now, 2017. Right. And so, like, one of my theories that they made this whole experiment, maybe it's like a secret organization making, like, these killers. I don't know. Maybe it's aliens. Seeing what type of people are like our earthlings. I don't know. Is there any like theories like do you have behind like
this? Well, whole you know what? The one thing I didn't think the first time and then or the second time I saw this, but when I watched it this week, I was thinking the guy who's asking the questions at the end, the questionnaire guy, he's got a bunch of scars on his face.
Okay.
And all of a sudden I started thinking, maybe this isn't the first time that he's run this experiment and he's supposed to be attacked and beaten by whoever is the final person. And that's why he looks like that. It's burns and scars on his face because every time he gets to this point, because when you go outside and there's all the cameras, it's always one person leaving. It's never a military.
Yeah.
So maybe it's almost like you said, maybe they set it up.
All right.
Like that.
Also, I thought you were going to go.
Those military people aren't dying. That's just part of the experiment.
Oh, man. So I thought you were going to go that maybe he was also a survivor from the Belko, like one of these.
Or that was another thing I thought was like maybe a previous one. They're like, oh, well, you know, you survive, you get to run one.
I'm telling you, if I was running one, none of that shit would have happened. No one's getting past me to this switchboard. Better believe that.
But there's a lot of like fun little satirical things in it, like little spoofy things, like where you have like the guy's in the bathroom and his head explodes and just it's just all over like the toilet and everything. And as the camera starts to pan out, the bathroom door closes and the little sign says, "Please leave toilets clean for your neighbors or whatever."
Oh, yeah. what was your favorite kill in this whole film?
Oh man, I don't know. It's tough. Like the nerdy guy who got one of his fingers blown off. I thought that was great and surprising that he was just like, "Oh, we survived. It's all done." And then he blows up all over the maid, which I thought was another great, great little gag.
Mine has to be that one Hispanic chick. She tries to come over to Barry, and he's all like, I think his last name is Winslow or something. Yeah. Like that. He's like, Mr. Winslow, please don't kill me. And she like takes off, just like she opens up her top, and then like, you know, Barry gets real close to her, and he's like, I don't want to waste a bullet, and snaps her head. It was like, man, I was like, how much power do you have? That was like, that was a Jason type of neck snap.
Right.
Because her head went 180 owl style.
She was lanky. She had a long neck. It was easy to snap.
That one has to be my favorite one just because it was like, oh, snap. Right. That was brutal.
And again, that was another surprise one. We're like,
yeah. Yeah, there wasn't, like, surprisingly, there wasn't a lot of, like, creative kills in this one.
I had read some reviews that said the same thing, but this wasn't Final Destination or something like that. I felt like it, all the kills worked because, I mean, in an office like that, in a very limited amount of time, you don't have the time to make some kind of crazy traps. Weapon and to make traps and stuff. It was just, you know, kill people.
Kitchen knives. Run. Yeah. And paper cutters.
So I didn't have any problem with that. I thought everything kind of worked well.
They're all pretty realistic kills. Like the wrench to the head, the rhubarb sticking out. I guess the most creative one is probably the elevator crush.
Yeah.
You know, which I think they really missed a moment there where that guy's half, the top half could have just fell down on the new girl.
On the new girl.
Yeah. Not like it wouldn't have killed her, but it would have been like definitely funny.
Right.
Oh man, so Kobe, what was your first oh my god, I'm blanking on this segment. First impressions when you saw the trailer.
Like I said, what very first time I saw this trailer, I was like, okay, I gotta find somebody to go to see this with me. Cause I kinda hate going to the movie theater by myself. So I'm like, who's seeing this with me? And it was about 30 seconds, and I got a few people who were like, yeah.
You don't want to go to the movie theater like a fucking serial killer alone?
I've actually only ever gone to see one movie alone, and it was on accident.
Was it a date? Did she, like, see
no,
you?
No, there was a group of us that had planned to go see Captain America. Maybe it was the second Captain America.
Okay.
And then there was a convention out of town, and so half of them were like, we're going to go to the convention, but I had to work. So I was like, well, I still want to go see the movie. So then the group was much smaller. And, so one of the guys, was like, hey, I live by like three of you. I'll pick you guys all up. And then I'll drive over, and Colby, since your work is closer to the movie theater, we'll just meet you there.
Yeah.
It'll be perfect. And I was like, awesome. So got out of work, rushed out, drove to the movie theater, bought my ticket. I'm hanging out. And then
waiting.
I'm hanging out. And apparently the guy who was driving had a rough day at work, and he went home to take a little nap, and he didn't wake up. And two people are like standing at his front door like knocking, waiting for him to answer because they wanted to come to the movie, and they did not wake him up. And so then I was like, I'm not wasting a ticket because this is a movie I want to see.
You know what, surprisingly too, for me, I've the movies that I've only seen by myself are all Marvel movies also. I watched Iron Man 3 and Endgame because, you know, I was on my day off. It was still like it was a week after the whole thing. But I knew it was still going to be busy at night, so I watched it with all the senior citizens in the morning.
Endgame, I was really close to going to see if I didn't.
You couldn't find someone to go with?
Yeah. It was going to be like, well, Tuesday I'm off early. I'll go Tuesday.
I will
But Sunday we found some people.
Oh, you found some people?
Yeah.
So you finally got to watch it?
So I saw it, yeah.
Okay, cool. We can talk about it after the podcast.
Yes.
So you definitely, you're super excited, stoked for it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was just, like, beyond excited.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, when I first saw the movie trailer, saw the poster, saw the trailer on YouTube and all that stuff, all I kept thinking about was, like, Battle Royale. It was probably, I guess it's in that whole in that whole genre of, like, sort of, like, you know, last man standing situations, I think Battle Royale is sort of, like, that top.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
Because not only does it have, like, really cool, like, a concept, like, every student gets a weapon, and all the bags are random, and you get all these, like, random kills, but it also has, like, that whole psychological aspect, you know, because right. I think it's, like, throughout a couple days.
Right, yeah, it's kind of, like, till it's over.
Yeah, till it's over, you know, and it's pretty much the model of PUBG. You know, zones are getting closed off, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, when I was like, I don't know how Americans are going to handle this whole situation. Like, is it going to have, like, the psychological aspects of it? Or is it just going to be, like, a sort of a gore fest, Saw type of situation?
Right.
You know, so I think they did pretty decent for the... Because in Battle Royale, I think it's like a 2.5 hour movie. So you really got to, like... see all these different scenarios.
And you got to know everybody, and you got to,
and the whole situation. This one did it an hour and a half, and it really mainly focused on one guy, Mike, and his whole, like, morality throughout the whole thing. And so I think they did a decent enough job. Yeah, after watching. But my first one, I was pretty, I wasn't gonna spend a movie ticket, but I'd Redbox it. You know? That was my whole, like, it's going to come out in 3 months, 3-4 months, you know, I don't see this being, like, the Hunger Games of gore type of Battle Royale movies. Hunger Games, I also had another problem with. I hate that whole series. In three movies couldn't do what Battle Royale did in one movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so your thoughts on it after the film?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Like, I wish it was, like you said, it's an hour and a half. I wish it was 2 hours, and that they would have expanded a little bit more on a couple people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, really going in, you knew the final battle was going to be Mike versus
Barry.
I mean, like, there was just... I mean, it was pretty obvious. And if they had... Just if they had put a little time to expand on a couple other people, that would have been a little bit more of a mystery. Like, who is going to be the final, you know, battle. Final guy.
Oh, like, if they hadn't just focused on Barry, but had, like, maybe, like, 4 or 5 people sort of as, like, their point of view for the whole thing.
Right. Especially on the Mike side. I mean, like, Mike was obviously, like, he was the...
The guy you're rooting for.
Right. Where you know, you got a little bit of that, maybe Wendell's crazy enough to kill Barry to try to, you know.
And... To try to usurp him?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, it would have been cool if you got to see a little bit of their backstories. But I don't think Barry, until the situation was given to him that he had to have a higher kill count, I think he's a good soldier, but I don't think he would ever, you know, I don't know.
Right.
My thoughts. Yeah, it was a fun experience. Like, it's only an hour and a half, so I didn't feel like it was a waste of time. It was cool to watch. First time watching it felt longer. Second time I was like, it's only an hour and a half. I could watch this and be cool with it. Second time still pretty good. Like, you know, the replay value wasn't high, but it's like one of those films. Like, oh yeah, let's put a random fucking movie on. Oh, you never seen the Belco experiment? Let's put that shit on.
Oh yeah, no, especially at an hour and a half, I think this movie has great shareability. Like, if somebody comes over and they're like, "What's Belco experiment?" You're like, "What? Got an hour and a half? Sit down. I'll make some popcorn."
So Colby, on our rating system, what would you?
Well, this one's really easy.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I should explain the rating system every time, right? That would be a good thing. So our rating system, did I add a fifth one? Oh, yeah, deluxe box set. There you go. So our rating system is pre-owned, used DVD, new DVD, used Blu-ray, new Blu-ray, and limited edition box set.
And if it's really bad, then we go to VHS. But like I said, this is real easy. I know my rating would be new Blu-ray because I couldn't find this on a streaming site, so I bought it on a new Blu-ray.
You bought this movie new Blu-ray? Was it like a discount though? Because it's pretty old, right?
It was not even discounted. I was like,
you bought this the day it came out?
Or no. I bought this like
within a year,
like 10 days ago.
Oh. You bought this? Oh man, Kobe.
Because I was like, you know what? I could find it online if I really looked. But this really deserves to be in my collection. And you know what? It's not so bad that I want to waste my time looking for a used copy. This deserves to be new. Plus, then you get the special features.
Is there a lot of special features?
There is not.
What?
But there is one super cool special feature that I blew my mind. The director of this movie.
Oh, is James Gunn.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I saw that at the beginning. I was like, James Gunn made this fucking movie? James Gunn, who did Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2? Holy shit.
That explains the Yondu.
All right, he's like, hey, man, we're on break. You wanna be in a film, make a couple $1,000 or like a couple, $50,000?
Right, exactly.
Because hey, I think by
you
this time,
Belko for 12 minutes. You want to be in Guardians for 12? I think he got a much bigger part in Guardians too.
But. Oh yeah, but you know what? I think at this point, that guy Yondu, he's probably the biggest star in this film.
Yes,
because everyone's gonna be like, "That's fucking Yondu. That's also a fucking dude from Walking Dead."
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah, but I think people have erased that character and replaced him with one of the greatest stepdads in history. Yondu.
But then, like, I kind of looked into Gunn a little bit, and I didn't realize, like, his early movies, he, like, did, like, a Toxic Avenger movie.
Oh,
he did,
man.
a Sergeant Kabuki Man movie.
Oh, so this is just him going back to his roots.
Yeah, he did, like, he worked
in, like, what, films.
What, Trauma Video? Like, he worked with
he did
them.
Trauma? Yeah, no, yeah, that really surprised me. I didn't notice it on my first run. But I was like, oh shit, James Gunn made this
Yeah,
movie.
I don't know if I even would have recognized his name seeing it in the movie theater since Guardians wasn't out. And I...
When did Guardians... No, Guardians came out like 2016. Wait, when did Guardians...
No, this has got to be... This has got to be before Guardians.
Oh, okay, man. We gotta Google check this before we end this episode. Hold on. we're going to... At this point, we're going to put... I'm going to see if I can find elevator music. For the Google. Yeah, 2014. Yeah, this garments. Time flies, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, but see, it was just so, like, it wasn't on the poster. I'm pretty sure Disney was not be like, you're not going to put from the director of the Disney film Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn. Yeah, but, you know, it was really cool. This is sort of him going back to, like, the movies maybe he loved growing up.
Right.
Yeah,
and he, like, in the little, one of the little specials, little extras, they have, like, a little interview with him, and he's talking about it. And, yeah, he came up with this idea, and he just got so excited about it. He's like, that night he went home, sat down, started writing it out, and then in a weekend, done. He's like, actually hurt my back, had to go see a chiropractor because I was hunched over my desk, you know, doing this movie for, like, 48 hours straight.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, like, let's not praise him too much. I mean, this isn't like Oscar or Golden Globe.
You shut your mouth.
But yeah. Well, you know, it kind of changed for me because I like special, like, little special features on films. Like, one of the films I bought, Interstellar. Love all the special features. If it didn't have it, I probably would have bought that movie just new Blu-ray. So for this one, because there's not like a, you know, like behind the scenes or like a lot of behind the scenes, did it have a director's commentary when you're watching the film?
No.
Yeah, see, so
it,
like...
It had deleted scenes, but it was like minimal. It was like 12 deleted, well, 8 or 10 deleted scenes, but they were like 4 seconds apiece.
Yeah, see, if it was like deleted, like 10 deleted kill scenes, that would have pushed me over to used Blu-ray.
Yeah, it was like girlfriend sits, and it was like she like walks around the corner and sits down, and there's like, you know, and
that's not
like
a fucking deleted scene. How dare you, James Gunn, put that as a deleted scene?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so me, I probably buy this new Blu-ray. Not new Blu-ray. I'd buy this new DVD. Yeah.
Okay.
If it had more special features, before you had told me that, I would have given it used Blu-ray. You know, a good $12.
If this had something fancy, I possibly would have gone with, like, deluxe box set. If it came with, like, a bloody stapler or something. Oh.
Or no, it would come in one of those, if the limited edition box was a filing cabinet, if it was a trilogy filing cabinet, I'd buy it just for the filing cabinet, if the other two movies were watchable. The two movies have to at least be as good. It can't have that decline of, like, sequel and trilogies.
Right.
Yeah. But if there's,
I am super excited. If they're doing a second one, I would love to see where they end up going with it.
Right. I don't think Mike would be.
But I think that in the little thing, I think they said that he actually originally wrote this like 10 years ago.
Who? James Gunn?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So maybe.
And that would have been at the time it came out when they did the interview. So now it would be 15 years ago.
So maybe he doesn't want to revisit. He's like, I already did it, whatever.
He's like, I got some Guardians money now. I don't need to go back and
make these B-rated films. Toxic Avenger. So Colby,
it definitely has got some blood in it, so be careful showing it to the kiddies.
I don't think you want to show kids this movie. You know what, though? At this point in time that we're in, kids have seen way worse shit.
Yeah, that's so true.
There's no passwords on the Netflix. You know, you could just go to your dad's account, watch a couple soft porn that's on Netflix.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody has a fucking cell phone in their pocket, so you pretty much have your porn library in your pocket. So, Colby, what are we watching for next week for our final leg of the Trapped month?
Next week we are watching, it's a little bit different, and it's like a different take on the Trapped movie. It's called Pontypool.
Is there any website that streams it?
I found one, but it's like subtitled in French, but it's still in English.
Alright, yeah, we just have to get over our anime subtitle training.
Yeah, reading it in a language we can't read. What?
But see, the tricky part now is there's enough like letters in the French language that looks so if it was like in Chinese,
you're
totally out of my mind. Right. But now you'd be like, oh, le fart. Oh, so is there? Do you want to give the audience a little preview of what Pontypool is about? A little synopsis.
It is about a shock jock, mm-hmm. who on the radio, who does some really crazy things, and he basically gets exiled to small town, doing like the 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's the work.
5 o'clock in the morning radio spot. So he's in the station. It's just him and his like one tech chick, you know, putting the commercials and stuff in, and he's trying to stay awake, given like the news and you know, making it interesting for people, and they start getting weird phone calls.
All right, and that's where we're gonna end it. Otherwise, we won't have anything to talk about next week.
So true.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode. I'm Barry.
I'm Colby.
And this is Who Watches This. Theme music by Lee Rosevere, Arcade Montage. You can find it on the FMA.com website under Music for Podcast 3 album.
And if you want to see any special movies rated or reviewed by us, certainly let us know.
Yep, it'll be filled with a lot of dick and fart jokes.